Psalms 118. While you're finding that, somebody tell me something good. Somebody tell me something good. Boy, Jesus is alive. That is outstanding. Bernie?
I've been sober for 5 days.
All right. Yeah, outstanding. Now, I'm gonna say that again, but I want especially any of us who have any understanding of what that's like to get that first day, that first 5 days under your belt. Bernie's been sober for 5 days, y'all. What's that like?
Great.
Yeah, I know it was tough to get there, but what's that like? It's amazing. It is fantastic. It is terrific. You are doing excellent. Well, it's not 6 days. You're going to meet those kind of people. Not in this place, because if we find out about them, we'll kick them in the throat. All right? And they'll say, well, why didn't you do it earlier? You're going to meet those kind of folks. Does it matter where you've been?
No.
Does it matter what you've done?
No.
When you start following Jesus and it starts all over, you get a brand... Oh, by the way, did you not know? Everybody that got a brand new life on... Was it Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that got a brand new life on Sunday, hold up their hand. Outstanding, yeah. What is it you say, Darla?
Woo-hoo!
No, yeah, that too, but... I should have known. Listen to this, Bernie. This is what you tell people from now on.
That you are sane, sober,
and safe. That's right. And we'll celebrate it with you. I don't know.
But I'm sober.
I guess most of us, if not all of us in here, know what it's like for other people not to forget, that they'll remember what we've done. They'll remember the hurt that we've caused. We're not going to blame them, because the truth is, did we cause that trouble? I caused that trouble. And so I can't hold it against them for them holding it against me. But what I can do is I'll take care of me, okay? I'm going to start following Jesus. If they can forgive me, thank God. If they can't, too bad. I'm sorry. I hate that. But God forgave me, right? And we're going to live that way every day. Every day. God bless you, Bernie. That's excellent. Somebody tell me something good. Would anybody else in here agree with her boss that Darla's well worth it?
Yes.
Oh, I would. Amen. Amen. And if he decided later and said, hey, I still need that $50 a week, count on me. I'll take care of one of those weeks. All right. Tell me something good. Last call. Something good. House, new house, move is over. Good stuff.
He's not here, so I'll say it for saying that they got their coffee shop up and running.
Zane and his brother Zach. I get all those Z's mixed up. Richard's got a grandson named Zoolander, so I don't want to get all the Z's going. Don't you tell him I said that. I'll be in big trouble. Zaylin. At least I can know how many grandchildren I've got.
I know how many grandchildren I have.
No, she doesn't. I've asked her. You'd lie right here in church, wouldn't you?
Yeah. They all right. Have different names for all.
I make up names for mine, too. Zane and Zach, if you didn't hear that, they just opened up their new coffee shop, their own business. It's at Cactus Alley, Salem and Marcia Sharp. There's a little shopping center there. One of our brothers used to have a hairstylist place, Dwayne Culpepper. Some of you will remember him. That's where he was located. But they've got their coffee shop open. And if you like coffee, go by and see them. If you don't like coffee but you like them, go by and see them. If you don't like coffee and you don't like them, All right. Man comes in from work. He's tired. He's dirty. He doesn't have any interest in talking to the priest. He doesn't have any interest in talking to the monk that's there. He doesn't have interest. He doesn't go to the confessional. He doesn't go up to the altar. He goes over to the box that contains the sacrament, the bread that's used on a Sunday by the priest. He sits, makes no fuss. The priest walks by every day, sees him same time, same place. Sees the man's mouth moving, but can't hear what he's saying. The story, as I was told it, said that one day when the priest walked by, he saw light shining out of the box where the bread was, shining out of the box onto this man's heart. And the priest was curious, so he came over and he said, "What are you praying?" He said, "What does it matter? I'm not talking to you. I'm just praying." He said, "Well, what are you praying?" He said, "Well, why do you want to know what I'm praying?" He says, "Because I see a light coming from the bread. I see that light coming and I see it shining on your heart, and I'd like to know what you're praying to have this blessing." And the man said, simply, he said, "I'm not praying, I'm just saying, Aquí está tu Juan. Aquí está tu Juan." Now, when I was told it, I was not proficient in Spanish like I am now. And it said, hang on, guys. This is a big deal. Come here. I want you to put this in your hand, then turn around and show it to everybody. Guys, this is something we've been praying about. We've been praying about this. We've been hoping about this. We've been working about this. Ernest needs to show you something.
That's my license.
God is good, isn't He? Bless you. It looks like some of the other pictures. But we're not going to talk about that. Aquí está tu Juan. And when I asked what that meant, Catherine's dad, who told me the story, said, "Here is your one." Aquí está tu Ernest. God, here is your Ernest. Aquí está tu Bernie. God, here is your Bernie. Aquí está tu Rex. God, here is your Rex. I don't know everybody sitting in here. We've got faces I've not seen before. So I don't know anything about your past, and I don't know anything about what brought you to this room at this place at this time. But I know this about the folks that are in here that I do know and have had a chance to sit down and us visit. Most of them, if not all, I'm looking around the room to see if there's any that have been very honest, very open, and said, here's aquí está, here I am, it's just me. So when I say, it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done, when you walk in here, it doesn't have to be in here, but you understand, when you present yourself before God, at least in this place, let it always be this way. This is us. I don't know how anybody else looks at you. I don't know how anybody else... I know how some other folks look at me, because I am reminded of that frequently. But it's not the way they look at me that makes any difference at all. God, here I am. Here is your Rex. God, here I am. Here is your Esmeralda. God, here I am. Here is your Janie, your Rick, your Philip, your Joe. And that's the way you approach when you pray the prayers, sing the praises that come up in the Psalms. You've heard this one, and it's going to be repeated. And the fact that God repeats it tells you something. Anybody want to tell me what it means when God starts repeating himself? He means it. Of course, he always means it, but why does he repeat it? Because he wants us to remember it. It must be important. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I knew what he meant, but thanks, Ernest. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. You've done this before, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Now, Consuelo, how do you say it? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting. I don't care if you want to say everlasting or His love endures forever. It's still the truth, isn't it? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give me one reason to give thanks. Now, we're not going to take a long time. Just tell me. Give me some reason. And I don't want Sunday school answers. I don't want general stuff. I want personal, specific. Give one reason you give thanks to the Lord. One reason you know that He is good. You get up in the morning. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
For me, it's like every time I'm going through something, I just sit back. Now I just sit back and just the songs and all this stuff.
Did you hear that? I just sit back, I be still, and let Him show Himself. Aquí está tu Ernest. God, here I am. Do your thing. Boy, God showed off in Ernest's life. Not just with that license, but what happened yesterday and today. I'm telling you, God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Keep reading. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say,
His love endures forever.
That's kind of pitiful. Let's try that again. All right. Let those who fear the Lord say,
His love endures forever.
I love it. His love endures forever. Is it possible for things to change in your life and it not be in a way that you want it to change?
Yes.
Example. Give me an example of the world changing and things begin to slide in a direction that you don't want, that you don't like, that you can't believe God's letting happen. Teresa went to be with the Lord before Jason was ready to say goodbye. when it shifts like that and you begin to wonder. But if you respect the Lord, if you fear the Lord, if you understand, you know the Lord, you can still say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. In my anguish, there it is. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord. Now stop. Anguish. Jason shared one with us, saying goodbye to your beloved. Saying goodbye to your best friend. Saying goodbye to your heart's mate. In your anguish. Tell me what caused the anguish. For you. For you, what caused the anguish?
My addiction.
Your addiction.
Raising my grandkids.
What caused the anxiety, the anguish? Prison. What caused the anguish?
My selfishness.
Selfishness. The moment of your anguish, when was it? What was it? You're sitting in this room and you don't know these people. They don't know you either. And yet in spite of the fact that they don't know you, in spite of the fact that they haven't met you, they said out loud, we've been addicts. We've been in prison. We've been in anguish. If you know anything about anguish, if you know anything about grief, if you know anything about heartache, if you know anything about that, you're in the right place and at the right time, because give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Now, folks, I need you to, who cares what I need? I think you need to say it again, because it needs to start to echo in our heart, in our heads, until it sticks in our hearts, so that in that time of anguish, we know what to do. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord. That's where you ought to cry. Now, some of us haven't. Some of us have cried to our dealers. Some of us have cried to our buddies. Some of us have cried to some woman. Some of us have cried to some man. And what do we find? When we cried to the dealer, when we cried to the buddy, when we cried to the mate, when we cried to the date, when we cried to them, what do we come up with? What did we come up with?
More anguish.
But in my anguish, I cried to the Lord. And read it. Underline it. He answered by setting me free. This is not church service. You know what? We're not having any singing. Nobody's waving their hands except me while I'm talking. But I got to ask you, is there anybody in this room that knows what it's like to be set free? Anybody in this room have any concept of what it was like when you cried to the Lord, He set you free? Hold up your hand if you know anything about that. So when you're looking around, y'all, when you're looking around, you look around, did anybody set you free? Boy, He set me free. He sure did. I was a little boy, and I had sinned, and I knew I had sinned. No, at that time in my life, I had not done any of the things that I would later do that brought me so much shame and my family so much pain. But I was still in sin. And I called on the Lord, just like Acts says. I was baptized and called on the name of the Lord, and He washed away my sins. He set me free. Yes, He did. And then later in my life, when I was shameful and stupid and sinful and selfish, and you can just fill in whatever blanks you want to fill in there to describe me, because they'd be right. I cried in my anguish, and He set me free. Now that one was not as dramatic, okay? Be honest with you. That one wasn't as dramatic. There wasn't this moment, a flash of light. There wasn't this weight lifted off my shoulders. It was He set me free, much like what He did much like what he did with those Israelites. He had to do some plagues on me to get me to leave Egypt. He had to drag me through that wilderness, through some bitter waters. Had to feed me some bread from heaven. Had to set my mountain on fire to get my attention. God set me free. Thank God. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and He answered me. He is good. His love endures forever. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, folks, I can remember reading that when I was younger, thinking, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten even more puzzled by the thought, but I'm beginning to get a handle on it. What can man do to you? Answer out loud. What can man do to you? You know they can. So tell me the truth. What can man do to you? How do they destroy you? All right, so they rob you. Let's take one at a time. They can rob you. They can judge you. They can break your heart. They can ruin your reputation. They can beat you. They can... Yeah, they can ignore you, neglect you, abuse you. They can betray you. They can insult you. They can mock you. You want to keep going? But if I understand that the Lord is with me, what does it do to their threat? Talk to me. And I need somebody not to answer theory. I need somebody to answer what you're learning in your life. What does it mean? What happens? What happens when you really begin to understand that the Lord is with you and that you're good with the Lord and that's what matters? What does it mean when men start to do those things to you?
It means that it's bearable.
It's bearable. What does it mean? I learned to depend more on God than them. Have the strength to face whatever.
For me, I think of it as all that now is all temporary. It's because in the end, I'm going on a walk with the Lord. So that gives me the strength to get through whatever is put upon me here on this earth.
Darla just gave you homework. You're going to find a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not telling you. You find it. Left hand page, right hand column, down toward the bottom in the giant print version, is the statement that says, these momentary troubles, these temporary issues, they're a passing thing and they don't compare at all to the glory that's coming. Right? Bernie, the insults. The emails. The records. What do those mean? Nothing when the Lord is with you. Keep reading. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. I love the thought of the Lord being my helper. Oh, I need a little help. Oh, I'm needing a little help. I come carrying in the groceries. I can't get the door open. I start yelling. Hey, I need a little help. And in my house, nobody listens. I have to set the groceries down and open. But when it comes to the Lord, I need a little help. You think I'm lying. I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to teach my granddaughter already to learn to ask for help. You know what kids tend to do when they get frustrated? Those of you who got little ones, what do kids tend to do when they get frustrated? They get frustrated and they start to cry, or they get mad, they throw a fit, or they quit. I'm already trying to teach my granddaughter. I said, no. Say, help, Papa. Help. So we play a little game. We'll get on the bed and I'll pile pillows on top of me and I start yelling, help me! Oh, and help me! And she comes over and starts pulling off the pillows, and when she throws the pillows off, she looks like she saved me. And of course, I act like she did. Oh, thank you, Owen. You know how many of I've heard of you say, Rex, it's just so hard for me to ask for help. You know that's what kept you in your addiction? That's what kept you in that horrible relationship? That's what kept you in that damnation of your own sin, is you were afraid to ask for help. The Lord is your helper. And He will let you look in triumph over your enemy. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Anybody want to testify to that one? It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. In fact, in case you didn't get it, He said it twice. It is better to trust in the Lord than in you just name them. Anybody else? Give me a name. It is better to trust in the Lord. It is better to take refuge in the Lord. It is better to trust the Lord. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than your job, your education, your family. Oh, and I love you. I love you, but I get... You start telling me, I know, you're good to me. You share with me these things. So you'll tell me about a family that mistreated you. You'll tell me about a family that abused you. You'll tell me about a family that denied you. You'll tell me about a family that neglected you. And then when I start talking to you about it, and you're starting to change your life, and you're starting, and then something happens, you say, but they're my... What? If they were your family, really your family, what would you be doing? What would they be doing for you? The fact that they donated the sperm and the egg that allowed God to give you life does not mean that you owe them the rest of your life. In fact, whose life is it? Who did the life? I know what they did to get you here, but who did the life? God did. He's the one that created you inside your mama. Bible says so, Psalms 139. And He's the one that gave you a brand new life. So whose life are you living? So when it gets, well, I couldn't come to church last week because we had family. Oh, really? You couldn't bring your family? Well, we didn't want to hurt our family's feelings. You've been hurting your family's feelings for a long time. And they come tell me about it. So don't be telling me you got it can't hurt your family's feelings. Because I got a list. I make a list of them. You understand what I'm saying? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than anybody. Anybody. Oh, and I got to say this. And I guess I'm on a roll, I guess, because I can't get off this point. Young ladies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than in any hairy-legged man. I'm telling you, ladies. Oh, but I love him. You don't know her. You don't know her. You'll never meet her. She doesn't live here. And even if she did, she might be sitting right here and I wouldn't tell you, even if you asked me. But she's not in here, so don't start looking around. See if you can figure it out. Because I know how you are. Is that her? Is that her? No, she doesn't live here. She tells me her husband's a dope addict. She tells me her husband is abusive verbally to her. She tells me her husband wants nothing to do with her as far as taking care of her physically, emotionally, spiritually. And that's saying it delicately, okay? Because we got some young years here. Husband wants nothing to do with her. I said, if you had to do it all over again, would you choose him as your mate? You know what her answer was? Yes. You know why? You know what she told me?
Because
I love him. I love him. She can't stand him because of the way he treats her, but she loves him. That sound like any of us? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in any man. Now, fellas, I'm gonna yell at you just for a second, because you're, in fact, you may be worse. Because what yours is, you got to have a little, how do I put this delicately? You got to have a little relief. And so you will look for anything, hook up with anybody for a little relief. And I know guys that are suffering, they're struggling, they are having a hard time because she left me. She betrayed me. She doesn't want me anymore. Oh man, I hate that. What are you going to do? I'm going to find me another one. No. That does not make sense. Yeah, but it'll make me feel better. Yeah, you know, I can't tell you what I want to tell you there, but that's not, maybe. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust any man, any woman, any job, any family, any government. It's better to take refuge in the Lord. Is that true? God said it. That said it. Now, you need to read this next part. I did not write this next part, but you're going to think I must have cheated and read ahead. I did. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, and they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. What did he do? Say it again. So who is the one that's responsible? Who is the one that has the responsibility? Who's the one that has the opportunity, the responsibility, the obligation to make the decision to cut somebody off?
Me.
Say it.
Me.
Well, he won't leave. I promise you, I know how you can get him out of the house. Well, she won't leave. I promise I can tell you how to get... In the name of the Lord... Cut them off. Well, I can't get my kid. I hear parents gripe about with kids. Kids gripe about with parents. Husbands gripe about with, or it's not husband and wife usually. It's live-ins with live-ins. I can't do, they just won't. In the name of the Lord, cut them off. I didn't write that, y'all. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. You have the right before God. You got the responsibility before God. Whose life is this you're living? Whose life are you living? It's His life, not yours. So live it for Him. And if somebody is swarming around you like bees, some of you feel that way. Honest. When bees are swarming around you, the illustration was there for a person. Bees swarming around you, what do? There's no place to turn, right? You're waving your arm, but you don't want to wave them too hard because you might hit a bee and you're freaking out, right? Some of you live your life that way. When you walk into your house tonight, after you've been around here and people like you, people smile at you, people hug you, people let you, let me get you something to drink. There are people that do that kind of stuff for you here. Nobody yells at you but me. I mean, it's so fun and it's a good. And then you go home and some of you are going home like bees are swarming around you. Some of you going to work like bees are swarming around you. Some of you hanging out with your old friends like bees swarming around you. In the name of Jesus, cut them off. In the name of Jesus, cut them off. In the name of Jesus, cut them off. God said it. And when he says it three times, verse 13, I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Anybody in this room ever started your new life? I'm going to ask you to talk about it. Anybody in this room ever started your new life and then got pushed back and almost fell? What's that like? What do you go to thinking? I'm the only person that ever made the mistake. I got a new life and look what I did with it. How's it feel? How's it feel to get that new life and to be pushed back and about to fall? You're ashamed of yourself for ever getting that close, Brett. Man, it feels bad, but it feels worse than bad because, multiply it, because I was raised in privilege to know God's Word as a child. My mom taught me about Jesus. My mom and dad lived the example of Jesus before me all of my life. My dad's still going at 90 years old. for 64 years, and not all those I can remember, but 64 years of my life, I've watched him live his life the way he lives it. I had that kind of privilege. I was sent to a school where I had nothing to do but study God's Word. And there were people who paid my gas bill. They paid my electric bill. They paid my rent so I could do nothing but study so that one day I could stand up and share God's Word with people. And I was privileged to travel all over the world and to speak in some churches. Folks, I spoke in some churches. I won't mention them because I don't want to ruin their reputation. But I spoke in some churches. I don't want to say names. But I have spoken in some, I think, the largest churches in this town. I've spoken in their buildings, to building packed full of people. I've spoken in places where they counted. I don't know how you count 10,000, but that's what they said was there. Maybe 10,000 or 9,998, because I think two guys slipped out early. I had privilege. I had privilege to do that kind of thing, travel all over the world, got to see some wondrous things, got to meet some wondrous people. And guess what I did with it? Guess what I did with it? Go ahead and say it. You know what I do with it. I blew it. I surrendered it for a few moments of pleasure. I fell. Did the Lord help me up? And He is my song. And I'll be honest with you. I'd rather be standing right here with you right now. Right now. I'd rather be standing with you, and I don't know how many's here, but I'd rather be standing right here than I would be standing in front of those 10,000. And there's a reason for that. It's not just because I like you. Don't get the impression I like you. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord... Did you hear that? I will do what? I will not die. I will not give up. I will not surrender. I have hesitated in my life from talking like I'm about to talk because I have... For a long time struggled. I want people to like me. I do. I really want people to like me, and it bothers me when people don't like me and get upset with me. I am trying to learn to grow up out of that. So what I'm about to say is against my nature, but I'm going to say it in the same spirit that this psalmist said. I will not die. I will live. Spread rumors about me if you like. And I'm not talking to anybody outside this room. I'm talking about you. Spread rumors if you like about me. I'm not giving up. You will not cause me to give up. Tell lies about me. Tell people that I did this or I did that. Go ahead. That's your business. I don't want you to. It'll hurt my feelings when I find out that you did it. Well, it's already been done. So I'll find out. If I find out who did it, I know it'll hurt my feelings that you did it. If you did it. But I'm not going to quit. Accuse me of whatever you need to accuse me of. Spread rumors about me, whatever you need to say. Accuse me of not loving you and not giving you enough time, paying you enough attention. I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm not quitting. I will not die. You got a problem? Let's both plan on going to heaven and let Jesus sort it out, okay? Let's both get to heaven and Jesus will sort it out, okay? And if He wants to send me in the corner of heaven, I'll stand there for as long as He wants me to stand. Because I'll be there. All right. I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over for death. So open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me and you become my salvation. There's lots more good stuff here, but we got teachers that are passing out next door. So I want you to look at verse 29. If you said it once, it's worth saying it again. For the rest of this day, and if God gives us any other day, but today will be enough. Today will be enough. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Hug somebody with you. Oh, hang on. I was going to say hug somebody whether you like them or not. I need you to stand up where you are. Y'all let me forget to take that picture for Samantha. I need you to stand up where you are. I need you to lean toward the center. Those of you over this table, lean in here where I can see your faces. All right, Esther, get up.